T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good afternoon. Oh, I got some sound. I want you to listen to this sound. Listen, this is Greg Gutfeld. Are you a fan of Greg's Fox News channel? I never understand. We just have to find a way to teach people the principles about their own beliefs. People who claim to be conservative, they're always running around doing things that aren't at all connected to our system of government, aren't connected to the notions of liberty. This is Greg Gutfeld talking about the coronavirus and how to deal with it. And he's talking about the most big government reaction you can imagine.
It's the first of the month. You got rent, mortgages, utilities, credit card interest that would make Don Corleone blush. It is time for a pause. Like I said, in auto sports, a yellow flag has all drivers slow down. Nobody passes. We stay in the same place and no one overtakes another. We need that here. Everyone gets a buy on their bills. And that includes landlords. If they're not getting the rent, then their taxes, insurance, mortgages get a buy too. But nothing goes out and nothing comes in. It's a freeze.
Now that sounds really thoughtful and it maybe even sounds intelligent. I don't know. To me, it sounds dumb because, well, that is if you believe in the American system of government, which is based on not having big centralized power. What this argument depends on, this idea that the government should relieve everybody of their economic responsibility so the economy can just be put on hold, so everything can be frozen, like when the, what is that, the yellow flag at the car races? When they're just going around and around but not racing anymore, just holding their position? That's what Gutfeld says should happen in the American economy. How can that happen? How do you take the biggest economy in the world and just say, okay, we'll carry it for you for 6 months? It just makes no sense. I don't understand how people do this.
Imagine the economy like a remote, and you hit pause on that TV called life. In a month, we could hit play and double the speed to catch up. But for now, consider it a pact among fellow citizens. That way, when your grandkids ask you what you did in the great quarantine of 2020, you can say, not much, but the weirdest thing is, we did it all together.
So, again, sweet talk. And, you know, people like him, that's essentially being a columnist. If you have a couple of minutes, you have to fill all by yourself with some thesis. That becomes a pressure, and then the pressure of having the responsibility of having something to say every day might be bigger. It might be larger than caring about the content. But that is a guaranteed program for creating unconstitutional government, for creating a worst-case scenario government. That is one that's taking over more and more of our lives all the time. I don't think for those who are young enough that they might be telling their kids someday about what they did during the virus, I think what they're going to have to explain is what they did in terms of resisting the destruction that the government is going to do to the country. by seeing this opportunity to grow things, to make their role bigger at a critical time when it needs to become smaller. And yes, people are so gullible, and there are polls now showing 80%+ of Americans thinking, oh, everybody, you know, the government should just take care of everything. The government should make us safe. The government can't make us safe. The government, because it's there, makes us dangerous. So it's better to have less government so we can be less in danger. 860-522-9842. It seems like the media sometimes is just conspiring to work with the Democrats to dismantle the American system. Listen to this. Samantha Guthrie interviewing Fauci. Is that how you say his name? Fauci? Anthony Fauci? The infectious disease guy? Listen to her.
I mean, with all due deference to states, shouldn't there be a national order, a national lockdown, a requirement, rather than this hodgepodge piecemeal method?
You know, you have a point there, Savannah, but it's one of those things that in our country there still is that issue of central government versus the ability.
There's still that issue. This is a high government official. There's still that issue in our society.
It's one of those things that in our country, there still is that issue of central government versus the ability and the right of a state to make their own decision. But again, I agree with you. When you see things like some of those exemptions, I mean, I can't make any official proclamations here, but I can say really seriously consider, are those exemptions appropriate when you think about what's going on? And I urge the people at the leadership at the state level to really take a close look at those kinds of decisions.
He's talking about how she went through previously in this interview a litany of silly things or questionable things or inconsistent things that were decided on the state level to be left open. Like one state left hair salons open. Connecticut has gun stores open, but other states are bolder when it comes to taking away clear constitutional rights. So, I don't know. I just thought this, I want you to be alert for this. I want you to be thinking about it. I want you to be watching out for the bad guys, because this kind of language and this kind of moment, this kind of drama where it cries out for strong centralized leadership, it does. But there is a price you pay for strong centralized leadership. Back to the Gutfeld example. You pay a price if you have a government big enough and strong enough that it can say, oh, we'll carry the economy. Don't worry about a thing. That's a huge price. 860-522-9842. Hello, Bob.
Yes, hello, Todd. So I'm calling about Governor Lamont's idiotic proclamations. I'm a senior. For years I've been getting ShopRite deliveries at home. The hoarders have left the shelves at Walmart and now have descended on gobbling up every single delivery date. These are people who have never used it before, but have evidently think that they're going to be able to get groceries that they couldn't get otherwise by grabbing these shopping dates for the 2 weeks in advance that either Peapod or ShopRite could give you. Seniors like me who are handicapped and can't move around, have been locked out. I just got done sending an email to the governor. Good luck with that. And I see in the paper here, he says, quote, we are asking people don't use cash, use credit cards. Well, that's nice if you have one. If you don't, well, you're going to use cash, I guess. And if you can get things delivered, Lamont says, home delivered and such, especially if you're a senior, we don't want you to go out and do that. He hasn't even bothered to check the fact that seniors have been thrown three sheets to the wind with his proclamations. There is no home delivery anymore, just as there isn't any paper towels or whatever.
Well, don't you have somebody who could help you out?
No. Not for groceries. And
no?
Now they have this limit. They have this limit of the number of people going into the store. I sometimes try to make it to the store, but I have hip problems and spine problems. There's no way in the world I can stand in line.
Well,
shall
we see?
When I go to a
shall
shop
we see Bob?
Yeah,
Bob, shall we see if we can find you a volunteer to help out?
Well, I might do that. I'm not one to ask for much in the way of charity, but
it's not charity, it's community.
Yeah. You know, if you want the gentleman who screens your calls to let me do it, I will do it on a confidential basis, maybe.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Okay, I'll put you on hold. Mike, grab Bob's contact information. By the way, we did really well with our with two people yesterday who were looking for help. Ann is a nurse. She was looking for help with a hotel room, and we couldn't get her a free one. Texted the mayor. He said he wasn't set up yet with the University of Hartford thing, where they're going to be putting up first responders in the dorms. And then I reached out to I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say where, but I reached out to a local hotel, and they have a special thing for nurses going on. So we hooked her up with that. She got a good deal on a hotel room. And then Lewis, who called yesterday, was a funeral director. And he talked about how he can't get the gear he needs. He needs a $100 suit. Every time he goes in to deal with a fresh case. And that's a big expense for him. And now he can't even get them. So he was looking for help. He says nobody pays any attention to the funeral homes. So we found, somebody just dropped me a note and said, I might be able to help them, connect us. So we've got that one working too. So anybody who thinks that they might be helped that through promoting something on the air here, have at it. 860-522-9842. We'll take a quick break, and then we will take calls. Coming up on WTIC. WTIC.
Yeah.
It's virus time. We're trying to make the best of it here. Talking about it, dealing with it, learning more about it. Alvin Waterbury. Hi, Alvin. Uh-oh.
Yeah, Todd.
Did we break something, Alvin?
Yeah, we did.
Did we knock something? Yeah? Sorry about that. Go ahead. Yes, Alvin. Did you forget what you wanted to talk about? You wanted to talk
I want to talk about you. Why are you so anti-government? I don't get it. Who's going to help
because,
all these people? Why are you so anti-government? What do you call Democrats communists for? I don't get it. Why are
well, that's
like
their
that?
Belief system.
Huh?
That's their belief system. Alvin's upset. First he breaks something, and then he hangs up on me. I am anti-government, first of all, because I believe in the founders and the American system of government, and these brilliant people put together a system designed to protect us from government. Have you ever studied this, Alvin? It's so fascinating. This group of people who were interested in politics and political philosophy and were inspired by the great writings and thinking of the Enlightenment. And they knew they had a unique opportunity in human history to create a system of government that actually worked for the people instead of against them. The average government, the vast majority of governments, are not committed to the best interests of their people. They see the people as subjects. They see the people as a tool for the government. Our society specifically set up to be the opposite. We are specifically protected from the government overreaching. So that's why I believe in it, because they believed in it, and it matches up perfectly with the human spirit and the human heart. There's nothing beautiful about having government take care of you. Whoever takes care of you also controls you, Alan. So if you're ready to be controlled, that's what you're arguing for. You're saying, please control me. John in Meriden. Hi, John.
Hello, sir. Called Will's show this morning. He was very receptive of my idea.
So you've already gotten it across. You don't need to do it now.
Yeah, I'm telling you. The Center for Disease Control says that ultraviolet light kills the virus. All the tanning centers across the country closed. These machines need to be moved into hospitals and nursing homes. And then
John, you are a clever thinker. Where do you get these ideas?
Listen, sir.
I'm listening. I'm complimenting you.
That we're going to do a little experimenting where a doctor or a nurse or an aide will lie in the machine, re-sterilize their clothes. We won't.
Okay, John. Thank you. It's a good idea. Appreciate it. 860-522-9842. If you've already done it, though, earlier in the day with Pastor Will, you don't have to repeat it here. If you want to do it here, call here first. All right. Mark in West Hartford. Hi, Mark.
I did talk to Pastor Will this morning, but I'm going to talk about something different with you. You're going to have a scoop on something. Remember yesterday I brought up Pearl Street in Hartford for the first responders, 33,000 square feet? Well, this one's even better.
Yes.
So you had a nurse call. This is for any other first responders, medical staff that needs another place to stay. Rocky Hill State Veterans Home. I talked briefly about it over the years with you. They have on hand 425 empty beds. They actually have different buildings on the property. Look it up during the break. So they have
The Rocky Hill what home?
It's called the State Veterans Home in Rocky Hill. The state is
a state veterans home. Okay.
Government run. Mm-hmm. Now we're building hospitals, right? We're building remote hospitals. And we have one sitting there. There's 100 empty beds right now in the hospital facility. And then they have a dormitory site. They call it the domicile, dormitory style living. There's 325 empty beds in there right now. It's a secure property. And not one person has talked about it from the government about, like, let's utilize this piece of property. That's
325 empty beds. Is that what you said?
In the domicile, and there's another 100 beds in the hospital for those that would require that type of stay.
Do you know if they've been sitting for a long time unused or anything?
You know what? You would need two shows a day for me to come out with my friends and tell you about that place. That place has been broken for 30 years, but that's way too deep, Todd. I'll lose you. The place has been broken.
Well, no, that's just a quick answer. Yes, it would require a lot of work to open, is what you're saying.
Oh, no, it is open. These beds are there. You just need the staff. Just bring in a little staff, and you have it. No, it's not sitting. This isn't dormant where it was shut down years ago. This was just another government property that they're not utilizing properly.
All right.
Yeah. 425
Well, that's interesting.
Beds. Can you imagine that?
And it's run by the state?
Run by the state. They police themselves.
Okay.
In fact, being a firefighter, this is how broken that place is. They haven't had a functioning fire alarm system in 15 years. Well, guess who goes out there when you call to have it fixed? The state fire marshal.
All right, Mark, thank you so much. Kevin Hartford. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Todd. I don't know if you realize it, but you're actually revolutionizing WTIC radio.
How's that?
You're taking the Sunday morning tag sale that has thrived for decades over these airwaves and putting those in search of items in touch with others. You're doing the same for those in need of shoppers or whatever in touch with others who can help. So just wanted to say thank you for that.
Well, that's good. I like that. I didn't have that conscious thought, but I guess we are. And by the way, those shows always, are, no matter what radio station we're in the country, they're always hugely popular.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's great, though. I mean, this station is fantastic for us, so it's great. Thank you.
Kevin, appreciate hearing from you. So we are scheduled. I say scheduled because we never know when these things are going to start. But the governor is supposed to have a press conference coming up in a couple of minutes. But don't give up on what you might anticipate coming down the pike. He may be here at 3:30, maybe a little later. We might be able to get some more calls in before he goes, but that is the schedule. I just want you to know so you don't get caught by surprise. 860-522-9842. The president, I don't believe we have a time on yet. Maybe he'll do his at 5 o'clock, or maybe we do. I'll double check it. Okay, so we're going to get a news update, and we will continue the conversation, hopefully, coming up on WTIC.
Gotta change around here. Gotta change around here.
You just never know. These politicians, they make a date. and then they don't keep it. 860-522-9842. So we're just chit-chatting about stuff going on. And it's all the virus. Everything is guided by the virus. It doesn't matter what subject you're talking about. The virus is impacting it. George in St. Louis. Hi, George.
Hi, Todd. I think someone should bring this up. The carnal virus was released from China around November. And we were involved in impeachment proceedings in January. So that virus was circulating at least most certainly through January when those impeachment proceedings were being carried out.
Wow, this is a really good point. I don't know why the Republicans aren't talking about this all the time.
At a time when the White House should have been at full speed, have full attention, all hands on deck, they were involved with Democrat impeachment proceedings that really made this situation a whole lot worse as far as
we don't really know what effect it had, but certainly it shows that when you're messing around playing politics all the time, that you put policy at risk,
that you put people at risk. I mean,
yeah, that too.
Yeah, that you put like over 4,000 people dead. That you put people at risk as well. So I am blaming the Chinese for this, but secondarily, I blame the Democrats for this too.
Maybe they were working in cahoots.
I mean, you can make you can apply anything you want.
Yes, you can. I'm just being a wise guy, either
on purpose or not on purpose. That impeachment proceedings had diverted White House attention to fighting in the courts rather than running the government.
Yeah, well, George, well done on the using your head in an extraordinary way. That's a good thought. 860-522-9842. George is saying this shows the hazard of impeachment. Impeachment was going on as the virus was starting its activities in China. And perhaps if we'd been paying attention, we'd be in much better shape right now instead of messing around with trying to harass Trump out of office. Bruce is calling from Bristol, as usual. Hi, Bruce. Hello, Bruce. All right. I take it back. He's not calling from Bristol, as always. He's driving around, daydreaming, not paying attention to what's going on the radio. Mark in Torrington. Hi, Mark.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Thank you for the call.
Well, thank you. I was just telling the call screener that I work in retail pharmaceutical, and it's not my full-time profession, but thank God I have the job, because otherwise
Wait,
I would have no
how do you job. Do that? Why do you do that part-time, though? Isn't that the kind of job that just requires your full attention?
I am not a pharmacist or a tech, although I used to be a pharmacy tech. I am not. I'm on the receiving, I handle the medications as they come in, and I document them and make sure that the controls go to the right people. And, I'm on the kind of retail bean counting end of it now.
Yeah, so you're a facilitator of the process of moving the goods.
Correct. Not only are the pharmacies subject to the same shortages, although we do get priority, but we are still subject to the same shortages. I was just saying that the general public is probably 90% there fantastic.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. I've got to interrupt you. We're going to the governor right now to get his press conference. Call back later. Here we go. WTIC. And a good afternoon to you. Well, there you have the governor with lots and lots of stuff covered. And then we've got the president scheduled at 5, but as you know, he doesn't start at his assigned times. But we have now to chat. 860-522-WTIC. Bruce in Bristol, are you there? Bruce? That's funny. Because Bruce did this like 45 minutes ago. It's so funny. We're supposed to have Bob Stefanowski on right now. But I believe that his wife, Amy, is going to do the segment. So we'll see if we can pull that off. But we had a good conversation going previously, which I would like to return to. And that was, well, yes, it's true. It was about anything having to do with COVID, including someone mad at me for being nervous about government, for Alvin. Alvin was great. Alvin yelled at me because I don't trust government. And I love those calls. I would encourage everybody who trusts government and sees it as a force for good to call in and explain the $150 billion in debt. I mean, the state's just collapsing financially, and it was already in deep crisis. The combination is incredible. And I don't know what the explanation is for that and how you justify that. And then on the federal level, there's the $23 trillion, that's probably $26 trillion in debt. Let's go to Greg in West Hartford. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Todd. I hope you're safe and well. I'd like to make comment about the governor's speech about being flexible and making a response to the coronavirus. I wonder if he would need the $1 billion now that they put into the bus route. I realize that wasn't him. Or the UConn expansion, $1.7 billion, and half the building isn't even occupied. Or even the baseball stadium in Hartford, which is about 10% capacity normally. This is the type of waste that prevents government from efficiently responding to crises, or the 10,000 refugees that were brought into Middletown, Manchester, and Portland area. Again, that wasn't under him, but these are all things that stop us from having money to respond to these situations, and the short-sightedness of government and the pandering to their voters.
Well, I don't think it's short-sightedness. I don't think taking care of the best interests of the state or the federal government I don't think that's part of their agenda. You know what I mean? Well, that it's not short-sighted because they're not looking to be fiscally responsible. They're looking to win elections.
Yeah, but
so that's what that money has been spent on.
They turn around and they point fingers and how broke they are when they don't save money and put money away, like the toll route, all the billions or millions of dollars they were going to get, which is ridiculous, and you know it. You know how they were going to put that towards, you know, infrastructure, which means railways for their people going back and forth to New York City.
Right. Yeah, I'm just your point is absolutely correct. I was just nitpicking over the language. Doug in Chester, hi.
Hey, good evening, sir. A few talking points, and then I'm going to let you go because it's always important to hear somebody as knowledgeable as you.
All right, you're very kind, but go quickly. I'm sorry, we don't have much time.
Thanks. Kindness is the key word. It's like first of all, I don't know why you cut out or called out Gutfeld. That's like 2 seconds of him elaborating about any subject is way more entire interestingly than anything I've ever heard on your show. Not to judge.
Just because I disagree with him on principles, I think people should be, if they're going to talk politics, they should. And claim to be conservative, they should have conservative values. That's all. Thank you for the call, sir. We've got to get ourselves a traffic update. Yeah, it's WTIC on a Thursday in which we've already got the governor's press conference out of the way, and we have the president still to come. Who knows when that'll happen, but scheduled for 5 o'clock. We've got open phone lines if you want to chat. 860-522-9842, RP in Wallingford. Hi.
Hi, Todd. First, thank you for talking about the real problem from this virus, which is going to be the economic ramifications. I just can't believe that already it just started, and already people are panicking about their April 1st rent. I mean, would you miss one paycheck at this point? The government is basically giving us our own money back. You know, if we weren't taxed as heavily and the government wasn't as big, you'd have this money in the first place.
Well, yes, but we don't. The funny thing is,
we don't have the money.
The money doesn't exist. So
right.
It's really like your grandkids' money they're giving to you, because this, or your kids, you know, somewhere down the road, some future generation will be paying this tab.
Right. This is just like what happens with every government program. Nobody ever learns anything. So, you know, just like, you know, the dependent generational culture that the government has created in the minority community, this is the same thing here. Nobody's going to learn anything, because for a lot of people, this is going to end up being a 3 or 4 month paid vacation. I mean, you know, I love when people talk about what a hardship it is. It's not that much of a hardship if you're getting free money. Where's the hardship? I mean, the hardship is for those who are self-employed and can't.
Well, some people would be getting too much free money because the feds are on unemployment. You know, they're throwing in an extra $600 a week. So some people will be making more, is what I mean, and some people will be making less. What do you think, though? Did you hear in the news? Yeah. Did you hear in the news there were these construction workers? I just caught it out of the corner of my ear, and I'm not sure who they are exactly, but they were making the argument that they need more protections so that financially, when they're sick, they don't have to go to work. And this is a really fascinating tension, because you don't want sick people going to work. True. You don't want
right.
paying people so much money for everything so that they don't feel that you're interfering with the relationship, really, between employee and employer.
Yeah, well, this is going to end up being a huge mess. And hopefully, you know, by the time Lamont is up for reelection, hopefully people will forget how he did a pretty good job so far of controlling this. But I'm hoping that the economic ramifications by then are the big story, because if not, he's going to get reelected again.
I would say he's done a good job of appearing like he's the governor, but all of the stuff that needs to be talked about is not being talked about. They're not addressing what you started off with, the financial problems. Those are the problems. Thank you, RP. I'm sorry I'm out of time. WTIC, as you know, once a week, we are joined by Bob Stefanowski, former Republican nominee for governor. But this week, he decided he really wanted to make his segment sparkle, so he sent along his wife, Amy, instead, which is a pleasure. Amy Stefanowski, I believe this is the first time I'm greeting you to our airwaves.
Todd, what a treat it is for me. Yes, I'm a longtime listener and first-time caller, so what a treat for me. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, I wanted to have you on because you're doing something remarkable and creative. And one of the things I love about this period of time, obviously the sickness part of it is bad, but what's good is for people to have their lives disrupted, and because in my mind, that's when creativity flourishes. And you've come up with an idea that I think is pretty cool.
Thank you. Let me tell you.
So fill us in on it.
I'm happy to. So the idea is basically to shop local, help local, and thank local. We started something, myself and a couple friends in nearby town, where we call it the Gift Card Project. So you can check us out at thegiftcardproject.com. And the idea is, right now, our small businesses in our towns are struggling. They're struggling to keep their doors open. They're struggling to figure out new ways to bring in business and save any business that they have at the moment, and they're retooling. So how can we help them right now is to go out and buy a gift card and support them now. And they've been so appreciative. So we've been out spending and getting people to buy gift cards, and we have injected about 30.
All right, well, hang on. Before you skip over, I just want to put some emphasis on just how important it is for a business to get a gift card, especially in times where they're struggling financially, because that's cash in their pockets. They haven't delivered any product for that money.
Right.
It's just cash to help them pay their bills. And then later, when they're up and running, people come in and use them, and the impact on them, the negative impact having to give the product in 6 months, say, is not that visible, but the money you're giving them right now is hugely visible.
It's so helpful to them. It really is. It may be they're not making much at all these days, so it really goes to a boost. It helps them to pay their employees and to keep the employees that they have a little bit longer as well.
Okay, so then what's the other end of it? What makes this whole thing tick?
So this is a collaboration with some other friends, and I loved that part of it as well, because everyone who came to the project had a little different angle. So some of the gift cards that you'll buy will be food, restaurants, grocery stores. But some of the gift cards we're buying are also going to be local shops, bookstores, hardware stores, haircutters.
Retailers.
All kinds of different retail. So we have two ways of then sharing those gift cards. If it's, say, a retail one, we are sharing those and thanking people that are in the healthcare field, the doctors, the nurses. We also have in our area that biomed company, which is making the ventilators. So we are about tomorrow to bring a bunch of gift cards, the retail ones, to them as a thank you, with a thank you note from the people in the community.
Okay, but who's, I just want to be clear so everybody understands the mechanics. Who's buying the gift cards?
Anybody who would like to buy them. You, me, your sister, my brother. Yes.
Okay, so if I buy a gift card and I want to involve it in the project, I somehow donate it to you? Is that the idea?
So if you buy the, you buy your local card, you can send it or email it to thegiftcardprojectct@gmail.com. So you can email it to us. Mm-hmm. It's all on the website, so it's easier if you go to the website. But you could email it to us, because most of the time people don't want to actually go to the store to gift a gift card, and most of the shops will give a gift
do
card
email
over the phone or through email or whatever.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot easier.
Okay.
Or you can drop it in the mail. And so today, for instance, we opened the mailbox. It was pretty fun. There were about 8 gift cards in there. So people are also mailing them
great.
To us in Guilford. But having said that, I know a lot of your listeners don't necessarily live in this area. They can do the same sort of thing in their area. Buy a gift card, help their community, and then share it with people that they know, doctors, nurses in their area, hospital. But in our case, this is, we're donating some to local businesses as well as to some of the people at Yale and Middlesex Hospital. On the retail side, and then on the food side, we're going to be donating them to some of the social service organizations down here. And again, every town
this is great.
Knows. Thank you. Everyone probably has someone
it's
they can
so
donate it to.
It's so simple.
It is
Yeah,
simple.
Everybody knows people.
Exactly. And so
and
I
a lot
get
of times people
project
want
so much as the concept.
Yep.
The concept is go get a gift card for now. And
okay,
then,
so where are you doing it so people know where to reach out to you and not where and where to ignore you?
So if they want to ignore us, they can go to thegiftcardproject.com, and it gives the examples of where they can email and where they could mail. Just get involved in their local community doing the same thing. But follow us on Facebook, too. If you look up The Gift Card Project, you can see what we're up to and how many cards we've collected. And I think, as I was about to say before, we've injected about $3,800 back into our local community, just in the ones in our project. And I've been receiving calls from Fairfield County, friends up in Manchester, all around. How do I do this? And so hopefully people can do it in their area as well. It is simple. And I have to say
that's great.
The business owners are so appreciative. They really are appreciative of this right now. And it gives some of them something to do. I had one friend that I bought something from, and she said, thank goodness, you know, it's been so quiet. And she made up beautiful, elaborate presentations, and she was happy to do it. So they really do appreciate the effort right now.
And that's wonderful.
People
so
want
it's
to
called
see on the backside. We don't want to lose them.
Yeah, you want to keep them.
We do.
The Gift Card Project. You have to have the word "the" in there.
TheGiftCardProject.com. Right.
I saw that in some other state. Yes.
Yeah. There's another.
And a whole different idea from yours.
Right.
So tell them to go away. Amy Stefanowski, thank you so much for being here.
Todd, thank you for having me. Stay safe.
All righty.
Take care.
Good to talk with you.
You too.
So that's Amy filling in for Bob today, her husband, Bob Stefanowski, and pitching her project, which sounds great, doesn't it? TheGiftCardProject.com. HXO 522-9842. And let's chat a little bit if we can. Let's go to Bob calling from Massachusetts. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, thank you, sir, for the call.
I've been listening to a lot of stuff over the virus and a lot of different people's opinions, but I haven't heard anybody really talk about how much money the states are going to lose, you know, tax-wise from all these businesses being shut down and just all the stuff they're trying to help.
It's unbelievable how much they're going to lose.
I know, and I don't see the federal government bailing them out either.
Well, the federal government has all the $2 trillion thing has huge money in there for the states. So $1.5 billion is coming to the state of Connecticut. It's not to just pay for whatever they want. It's to, you know, cover expenses that they have because of the virus. But, you know them, they find a way of using the money for what they want to use it for.
Yeah, and I really don't see that even covering the sales tax that they take in or the tolls on the roads that they take in. You know, that
well, how about the
billion, not that much money?
how about payroll? I mean, if you think about all the employees who aren't getting paid and the businesses that aren't paying taxes from their revenues, it's the amount of money is just incredible. And this is why somebody said a few minutes ago about how Lamont was doing a good job handling this crisis. And I said, well, he's doing a good job of acting like he's the governor, but as always, he's leaving out the critical information. He did touch on it today a little bit about the problems, but this is a big issue, and it's really hard to understand how the state's going to pull through it.
I really don't want to see this go on any longer than the end of April, because I don't think this country can take it.
I think
staying down like it is right now is just too, that'd be too long if it went through the summer.
I think you're right about that. Bob, thank you for the call. Good to talk with you. We'll take more phone calls in a minute. Joining us now is Patrick Sasser from notollct.org. How are you, Patrick?
I'm good, Todd. How are you?
Rocking and rolling.
Yeah. Here we are at the end of the week, right? We've made it. So I just wanted to take a quick moment to just express how thankful I am for a couple of individuals here in our state who got a hold of a supplier down in New Jersey for surgical masks. And these anonymous donors, who I wish I could say their names, jumped on the opportunity. They contacted me and said, Pat, would you give us a hand, get these things up here to Connecticut so we can get them out to the hospitals, the first responders, the fire departments, everyone that needs these surgical masks so badly. And we did that. We jumped in the truck on Monday. We shot down in New Jersey. We brought 100,000 masks up here. The next day, they put another order in for another 200,000 masks, and we got those up here into Connecticut as well. And now they've done another order for another 100,000 masks. And it's just amazing to know that people are just so willing to, you know, help out in this time of need that they are going above and beyond. And I know they're listening right now, and I just wanted to give a shout out to them and just say thank you. And it's been incredible what people have been doing all over the state, especially down in my area in Fairfield County, where we're really starting to see a much bigger impact beginning to creep into this part of Connecticut. And it's incredible when we're at the hospital dropping these masks off, seeing people pull in with their cars and literally just bringing a little bag from home with a couple of items and donating them to the hospital. You know, everyone is just pitching in, and it's just tremendous.
So what was the tell us a little bit more about how this worked. Were you just driving around randomly dropping off the masks, or did you make dates with people first, or what?
So we started making phone calls to the hospitals. We started in Fairfield County, and we found out that the hospitals were running low on their supplies for masks, and they were issuing nurses one surgical mask to last the week. And we were finding out that many of them, you know, were ripped, torn, you know, getting, you know, it's disgusting that you have to wear a face mask, the same mask, for an entire week while you're operating or, you know, working in the hospital. So
just think about your own breath and what your own breath would do to a mask over the course of a week.
Exactly. So it just, you know, they're going through these supplies, you know, at a very rapid pace. So we began making phone calls to you know, Greenwich Hospital, Stanford, Norwalk, Danbury Hospital, and we started driving around and making those deliveries and getting them to fire departments, to we got them to police departments. We got a box to the state police. We got boxes up into New Haven area and further up the line in Connecticut. I mean, in the past 3 days, it's just been amazing, you know, what this turned into and how many masks they got out there. And it's just so kind of them to do it. And I just really, really want to just say thank you to them. And thank you to everyone in the state that has really stepped up and has been helping out with this and hopefully taking this serious. You know, I know people personally who have gone through this sickness now, and they tell me it is nothing they would wish on their worst enemy. And I actually know a gentleman who's actually on a ventilator right now because of this. So it's serious. And I just hope people are taking it serious.
So just back to the logistics, is one couple bought all these 400,000? Is that what you said, masks?
One couple so far, they bought the first batch of the 100,000. The second batch, I was able to make some phone calls, found a couple of donors that were willing to kick in for that second batch, and they made some contributions back to the anonymous donor, and they then, you know, got their allotted boxes, and they got them out to the hospitals that they wanted to support and get those masks out there too. So, but they are the ones that really kicked it off, and since then we've been getting the number to the supplier out to several of the hospitals so that they can begin, you know, getting their own orders in, because, you know, look, we can't just sit around and wait. You know, these are things that have to happen right now. We've got to get these supplies here now. And look, people can sit there on Twitter like our state senators and complain the federal government, this, that, everything else. No, we need to step up and just get what we need and take care of our people and get through this. So it's just very aggravating to see all this talk. It'd be better if we would see more action from some of our leaders
now. You know, a lot of the people who are so-called leaders or in positions of leadership don't actually have an instinct for it or any experience. But what you did and what these people did, Patrick, that's what leadership is. You see the need, you rise to the occasion, you provide the leadership.
And that's what it takes, and especially in a time like this. So, you know, I just would hope that these you know, individuals that want to just sit there and bash our country and bash the leadership in Washington and everything, step away from that and focus on what we need right now, and let's get it done. You know, they could worry about all the bickering later on, but, you know, we need to just get through this so we can get over this quickly and get back to our normal lives, get this economy going again, get people back to work. But sitting there on Twitter and bashing our president every day and bashing people in Washington is not helping anyone here in our state.
All right, Patrick Sasser, notollct.org. Thank you, sir.
All right, take care.
And well done on your activities this week. Robert in Saybrook, hi.
Hey, I just want to say quickly, I'm volunteering at a nursing home now because I have training, and my daughter's on the front line too, and I'm not bragging. I just think talk is cheap sometimes, so that's why I feel like I have to go in. But I just wanted to say that about Trump yesterday, he insulted the good people of Lyme, Connecticut, by saying that the Lyme disease actually came from Lyme. And I just think we need to send an MSNBC truck to Lyme, Connecticut right now and see how people feel about that.
I love the idea of the MSNBC truck for some unbiased news coverage.
Yep. Thanks.
Thank you, Robert. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. So we do have the president scheduled at 5 o'clock, but as always, presidential press conference caveat, he doesn't generally start at the assigned time. So we will continue taking phone calls after news. WTIC, waiting for El Presidente. 860-522-9842. Nicholas in Manchester. Hello, Nicholas.
Hi, I was hoping you could help me out. A lot of the old-timers around me are worried that they won't be eligible to collect. Missed.
Why is that?
Washington, because they haven't filed in so long because their Social Security is so meager. they haven't filed. You mentioned there was something they had to do to supplement that or advise the government that, hey, I'm here and I need it?
I didn't, but there is. There's a form you can fill out that has been mentioned in some stories I've seen online. So there is a mechanism for that, even if you haven't filed a return. I don't know, but a quick Google search, I think, would reveal if they have it set up yet. This stuff, you know, the governments don't move quickly on these things. So, and the legislation was passed before anybody knew what was in it. So it takes a little while to implement.
Town halls would have those forms?
They might. I don't really know. I don't know if it's an existing form or some new one they're putting out. I really don't know. I'll see what I can find out for you. Maybe we can get a guest on.
All right, I'll be listening.
We'll explain those things. All right, thank you, sir. That's a good question because it is confusing. And one thing we are learning is that they are going very slowly. Terry, hi, you're on WTIC.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you today?
Thank you for the call, Terry. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a suggestion. Social distancing doesn't seem to be working in the aisles of the local grocery store I go into anyway. And so I just have a suggestion.
What is not working outright in the,
well, because
you know, what's
aisles
the failure?
In the grocery store are probably just about 6 feet wide. And so if two people are going down the same aisle and trying to stop in the same area, you're very close to each other. And I've actually put it in reverse, gone back, and gone into another aisle until it's clear. I'm thinking that maybe it would be a good idea if grocery stores would simply slap down some high color tape, like bright color tape with big arrows that indicate one way in that aisle. The next aisle goes the other way. And maybe it might take a while for us to realize what we're doing looking down. Maybe it will help.
That's a really great idea. I mean, that's a simple solution, and they could even have a couple of traffic cops there to, people, store workers who could get people in the habit of flowing in the right direction. I like the idea of one-ways at the grocery store.
Okay.
And that might be an innovation that sticks. No, it's a great idea, Terry. Thank you for that. 860-522-WTIC. Isn't that a good idea? Mike Allen. He knows about one ways. He's in the Brown, Painderis, and Scott Traffic Center. There's traffic. We found it. It's in the aisles of the grocery store, Mike.
That's right. I guess I should start applying to grocery stores, huh? For part-time work on the weekends? What the heck?
Here we go on a Thursday. We are talking it up. 860-522-9842. So I just got an email saying that, yeah, thank you, Mike, that Social Security filers don't need, or Social Security recipients don't need to file any forms. The money will come automatically. They've already got information. So I think that was Bob who was asking. Bob, nothing to worry about there. Apparently it's happening automatically. Mike in Torrington. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, Todd, yeah, you just beat me to it. I saw that story on Yahoo this morning, on Yahoo News. I don't know what the source is. I didn't look for it. But it said for those on Social Security who haven't filed in the past couple of years, don't have to worry about it. They will get the check.
Well, that's awesome. Did they say a specific number of years?
They said for the past 2 years.
Okay. It was
people who don't really have to file because their income isn't all that high, the Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a story when I logged on to Yahoo this morning. I said that if you haven't filed the past couple of years, you're on Social Security, don't worry about it. You will get a check.
Okay. But that would suggest that some people should be concerned if maybe it's been 5 years or something. So it would be good perhaps to fill out the form and find the form and fill it out if you've got concerns. But thank you for the information. 860-522-9842. Mike in Windsor Locks. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. Just
thank you.
For comments. I was listening to the governor's press conference a little while ago, and the lady came on and said that it took us 4 years to recover from the last recession. It's funny. I thought with the two biggest tax hikes in Connecticut. We still didn't recover. So I got a chuckle out of that. And the second thing is the whole limiting the number of people in the store is a joke, in my opinion. You know, unless everyone is going into the store wearing a mask and gloves, there's really no sense of limiting the number of people in the store.
Why?
If I go into Home Depot and pick up a drill, breathe all over it, and then set it back down, and 5 minutes later someone comes and picks that exact same drill up, you know, what good is limiting the number of people in the store? Everyone should be wearing a mask.
Well, in that case, it wouldn't. But apparently the primary way it gets communicated is through the air when somebody sneezes or off of a surface. So if you can get rid of one of them by keeping your distance, then the other one is in the hands of the gods. You know, it depends on which drill you're grabbing, I guess.
Right, but the CDC actually said that recommended everyone to wear gloves, and now they're saying that just speaking and breathing can cause the droplets to land on surfaces. You know, it's just, at this point, you know, the mask works two ways. It keeps your droplets confined to you, and it keeps
yep.
other people's droplets from coming in. So that's
yep.
my two cents.
All right. Thank you for that, Mike.
Yeah.
It's good to hear from you. 860-522-WTIC. The thing is, there is no one thing that you can do to make yourself safe, I guess, except for staying home. But even if you're staying home, there are things that penetrate the house. Even if somebody else does the shopping, you're still touching things that were in the store, even eating fruit and vegetables that were in the store. What we're doing is trying to get the odds more on our side, aren't we? Isn't that what we're up to with any precaution that we're taking? So if you are isolating yourself by staying in the house a lot, only going out to the store when you need to, wearing a mask, wearing gloves when you go to the store, whatever, or not, but going at a time when it's quiet, like when they open for seniors at 5:30 or 6, whatever it is in the morning, all those things are partial protections. Nothing guarantees, unless you could somehow cryovac yourself and never make contact with the outside world. Laura in Newington. Hi, Laura.
Hi. So I wanted to make sure that listeners were aware, and anybody else important that's listening, first responders in the fire departments of at least Manchester and East Hartford, they do not have enough masks. The edict from their chiefs is do not wear a mask on any call unless it is dispatched as specifically respiratory or COVID related. So from what I'm hearing, we are to assume lately that all people could possibly be positive. And we know when these people, the first responders, go into homes, say it's something really not respiratory related, that families are around, patients, so many people are around, and nobody is doing social distancing. Everyone's full of anxiety. And these guys are just getting exposed needlessly. And they're
yeah, that
do
sounds
not
terrible.
Have masks. It's horrible.
That sounds, because they should have
it.
Masks everywhere they're
Every
going. Because
call
we
they go on.
Yes. We know that somebody could be shedding the virus, or it could be otherwise being exposed to the first responders from people who aren't sick.
Exactly. So I don't understand how this is even possible and how these edicts are coming down to the workers themselves, but I know firsthand they are not
well, they've got,
to wear
they must
masks.
Have a shortage, but they must have a shortage of masks, Laura. Yeah, so they're not doing it because they're necessarily wanting to disregard the best interests of the firefighters, but trying to figure out how they make the masks last by using them for only the most critical, urgent situations. We are chatting about really, at this point, anything you want to be chatting about having to do with the virus, which is good because there's a lot on people's minds and a lot we have to learn and a lot we just have to express, I think, regarding the whole thing. So we've got a couple open phone lines if you want to jump in. 860-529-842. Emma calling from Granby. Hi, Emma.
Hi. Yes, the reason why I'm calling is to talk about masks. It's not, people shouldn't be worried that they're taking masks away from firefighters and, mm-hmm. you know, emergency rescue people and nurses. They should just be, if everyone wore even just a paper mask, it would stop the virus from spreading, because that's what they do in South Korea, and their numbers are down. In Asia, the idea is for everyone to wear a mask. In the United States, for some reason, people don't wear them, and it's
well, we've just never done it, and in Asia, it's been a, you know, it's socially acceptable, whereas
right.
here you feel totally weird.
Well, it's too, we're going to have to feel weird, because by wearing them, you ensure that your personal germs don't go out into the air to another person. So if everybody had them on, you couldn't spread it. I mean, and by the way, in Asia, that's how they can keep their stores open. And even restaurants, some of the restaurants are open. But here, everything has to be closed just because Americans can't be trusted to all wear masks. It's kind of...
Wait, so you think if we adopt this cultural change, and
mm-hmm.
that is that we wear masks whenever we think we're sick, that we would
yeah.
dramatically cut down on disease, and that people could still go to work even if they're working in a restaurant?
Right. Well, they do have some restaurants open in South Korea, and they have kept their numbers stable now. They aren't. They are no longer on an incline. And I know China is the same, but, you know, people don't trust the numbers in China. So, but the fact is that if everybody wore a mask, you know, it does work. It really does. You can't spread your germs. For example, when I get on Korean Airlines, if there's someone with a cold, they'll wear a mask. They're just used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't ever worry that I'm going to come off that plane with a cold. But yet, if I fly in the winter on any American, you know, like Delta, or oftentimes
sure.
I get off with a cold because it's an enclosed space. People in Asia are used to masks. They don't think they're weird, and they are effective. And they don't.
And Emma, do you think that moving forward, once we're done with this pandemic, that we will be changed in terms of this cultural norm, that we will be wearing masks?
Well, that would be my hope. And I would think that when you get on an airplane in the future, that they would have masks available and suggest them to people that have colds. Same thing with buses.
Well, it should be right there with the vomit bag, right?
That's right. It really should be. It really
All right,
should
Emma,
be a
thank
paper
you so
mask
much.
Or someone. That...
Thank you, Emma. Sorry, we've got to run to the president. He's got a press conference right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.